And before we look again at our text this morning, our main text, I should say, I want to read to you something the Bible says about Josiah over in the book of 2 Chronicles. I'm going to ask you to help me tonight in this way. I'm going to be looking, and you're going to be looking at a lot of texts, and so it's going to take some concentration. It's going to take you being proactive about trying to listen to this text, and I mentioned to a couple of you already, almost fear and trepidation that I'm going into this message in this way. But I think you'll do that for yourself, for the Lord. Verse 26 of 2 Chronicles. Listen to these words, and we'll look at our main text. It says, "Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel of Judah." Now, of course, written in the kings, that is tonight's text. And the words I read a moment ago there in 2 Chronicles are the words first and last. It says all about Josiah, the goodness of this man and the good things that he did, the first and the last, are in reference, of course, to this life and the testimony of this remarkable man in the Bible. His name is Josiah, and yes, the challenge is to look those deeds, the first all the way to the last, as they are recorded here, as it says in that text, here in the book of Kings. It's an astonishing biography and record of a little boy who then becomes a young teenager and then a middle-aged man, of which the Bible says there was no equal. Did you notice in verse 22, by the way, it says that he led the greatest Passover feast of all time? That's what it says. The greatest Passover feast that was ever observed of all time was led by this king. And you know what? No surprise, and I'll tell you why. Look at our text, 2 Kings 23, verse 25. It says, "And like unto him, like unto Josiah, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." Wow. In other words, not David, not Solomon, not Hezekiah, not Asa or Jehoshaphat, not Joash or Amaziah, or any of the other what we would call good kings. Nobody in all of the history of Israel had the kind of godly testimony this one man Josiah had throughout his entire life. All of his deeds from the first to the last, the ones that God has recorded in his eternal word, are a reminder to all of us that any believer at any age, 8 years of age, teenager, middle age, old age, or under the best or the worst of circumstances in society, anyone can live their entire lives for the glory of God and to the good of others. In our text tonight, the Bible presents Josiah's life in three parts. There are three parts, three periods of his life, if you will, from the first to the last. And I have to tell you tonight, folks, they are nothing less than a gift from God in these crazy, dark, vain, deceitful days in which we're all living. So I don't know, Pastor, I just don't know. I can't be as bad spiritually as it is today in America. Really? Can I show you just one example of what it was like in the days of Josiah? Here in our text, go back a few verses and look at what it says in verse 7. It says, "He, Josiah, break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove." Can I just remind you, and I'll say it sort of euphemistically since we have little ones in this room. Can I remind you what that verse means and says? It really means that within the temple buildings proper, male sodomites, escorts if you want to call it that, had set up shop. And women were weaving these tapestries to hang to the goddess of Asherah, the Phoenician goddess, idol. This was in the temple. In the temple. Sodomy and idol worship. This was the state of affairs for an 8-year-old boy who is now the king of Israel. I'm going to read you a text. I hope you'll listen to it very carefully. First of all, look at chapter 22, verse 1. Chapter 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now I'm going to read to you something that it says again in Chronicles. Listen to these words. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father. Why does he keep saying David his father? Why not his own dad? I'll show you why later. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand, no titles over there, nor the left, nothing over there. For in the 8th year of his reign, when he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. By the way, let me ask you a question. If he started to reign when he was 8 years of age, and now, as we just read a moment ago, he's in the 8th year of his reign as a king, how old is he? I know math is hard, but even I know. All right, he's 16. And what did he do at the age of 16? While it says, while he was yet young, it says he began to seek God. It's a beautiful thing. Young people in this room, it is a beautiful thing whenever a teenager seeks the Lord. Amen, beloved? You young people starting school last week and those going off to college, and man, I'm going to miss some of you young people when you go off to college. If you really want to be different and do something different in this world, if you really want to make a difference, unlike everyone else, then don't go out and make money. Anybody in America can make money. If you want to really do something that's different that almost nobody else your age is doing, seek the Lord. Seek to please the God of David. Something else about his beginning days, I'm going to read to you again. It says, for in the 8th year of his reign, when he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. All right, so math again. He started at 8, and now he's in his 12th year. How old is he? How old? All right, that's very good. You guys are awesome. At 16, think about this. At 16, when everybody else his age just wants their chariot license and is consumed with, you know, girls and games, the Bible says he's seeking the Lord. We read now, at 20 years of age, when everyone else his age is on spring break and working out at LA Fitness and sipping Starbucks, guess what Josiah is doing now? He's removing idols. And I mean with a vengeance. He's going through the land and he's fighting darkness. Notice our text, chapter 23 again, would you? Verse 3 says, and the king stood by a pillar. 2 Kings 23, the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Go down to verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, to the planets, to all the host of heaven. And he brought out all the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron. And he burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder. I like his zeal. And cast the powder thereof unto the graves of the children of the people. Listen, folks. This young man, think about it, the beginning of Josiah's life, from the age of 8, these are the three periods, this is the beginning. From the age of 8, now all the way to the age of 20, is this testimony of a young boy now and a young man who was committed, who was dedicated, who was faithful, who was sold out to the God of heaven. So that Josiah may have been a politician, and he may have been, indeed he was, a king. But he didn't act like any king before or after him, beloved. He acted like a child of the living God. You say, Pastor, I see what you mean. Josiah is a great testimony. because of his early faithfulness and his early obedience. For a young man, quote, to walk in the ways of David. You know what that means, right? The ways of David means prayer, devotion, consecration. David was a man after God's own heart. Josiah walked in those ways. For him to turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. That's the most amazing thing about his beginning. Actually, that's not the most amazing thing about this man's beginning. Because, beloved, the most amazing thing about his beginning starts before he was 8 years old. In other words, it starts before he was even born. I want you to look at chapter 22, and I want you to follow this very carefully. Chapter 22, 2 Kings, verse 1 says this. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. Do you know who his mother was? Do you know who his grandmother was? Back up a couple verses and look at chapter 1, verse 24. The people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king instead. Ammon is his father. Do you know who Ammon was and what Ammon did? What about it, Pastor? I'll tell you what about it. This family is the hall of fame of the Jerry Springer Show times 1,000. His grandpa is King Manasseh. Now, we don't have time tonight to go into great detail, but let me just summarize the kind of dad and the kind of granddad that Josiah had. These were his greatest influences as a young boy growing up. Here's grandpa. Look at chapter 21. Turn back a page, would you? Notice verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And then we go down to verse 2. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Why? He built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal, and he made a grove, and as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Go down to verse 6. And he made his own son to pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Verse 11, because Manasseh, king of Judah, had done these abominations and had done wickedly above all that the Ammonites did. Worse than them? Yes. When it says he made his son, that means his eldest son to pass through the fire. You know what that means? He sacrificed his son. He burned his son as a sacrifice to the idol. Manasseh not only brought satanic idols into the holy temple, he instituted child sacrifice. And it says he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord. And all the while, beloved, he knew better. His father was Hezekiah. And in fact, of all of the horrible and vile and deplorable leaders that Judah ever had, you can mark it down, Manasseh, Josiah's dad, was by far the worst. Can you imagine being the worst of the lot of the terrible kings that Israel had? This man led the nation into the worst kind of idolatry, immorality, violence, evil imaginable. And as soon as Josiah's dad, Ammon, took over from grandpa, Manasseh's grandpa, I should say, he just continues. He further continues the exact same destructive policies and wickedness. So that you see, what's really amazing about Josiah's beginning is the grace of God. I tell you what, Pastor, young people don't have a chance in this society to live for God. Yes, they do. But you don't understand the circumstances. You don't understand their environment. I understand Josiah's. And I know that at 16 years of age, with all of the money and the power of being the king of the realm, Josiah looked at his heritage of rebellion and pleasure seeking. He looked at his family tradition of idolatry and child sacrifice. And instead of using his fame and his power and his wealth to serve himself and follow their evil example, this man chose to go back to another father, David. all the way back to the one who was the man after God's own heart. And he decided to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You see, folks, God doesn't lower the bar for his people just because society does. God doesn't lower the bar of Scripture just because our leaders are vile. God does not grade on a curve. And you know what? The good news is he doesn't need to. Because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And can I just say something, and those of you listening at home and those of you in this room, it is a tragedy that young people in Christian homes have the audacity to think that it's perfectly okay for them to live together before marriage just because society accepts it. It's a tragedy. So, well, Pastor, it's harder today. It's impossible. No, it's not. I know plenty of young people who don't do that. I read a book not long ago on today's, quote, convenience-driven Christianity. And I wrote down one paragraph, copied it. It says, we drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we've escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves we've been liberated. We embrace immodesty and congratulate ourselves on being sophisticated. Do you know who wrote that? Not some IFB fundy guy. That was a half a century ago in Christianity Today magazine by an evangelical. You know, Josiah never said, it's too hard today. He didn't make excuses about his environment or his background, and neither should we. And young people, neither should you. Our God never changes. And so he went back to the God of his father David. That's the beginning of his life. What about the next period of his life? What about those middle years? 2 Kings 22. Look at it, would you? Notice verse 3. It came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam. Now, of course, again, math time, 18 plus 8 equals 26. So Josiah, think about this for a moment. Josiah is 26 years of age. What does he do? Go to verse 4. He says, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought unto the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered to the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons to buy timber, and so it goes. In other words, now follow this careful. Josiah isn't content with just getting rid of the idols. You know, we don't have a negative faith. We have a glorious faith. We're called to edify, to take the good news to the world. And here is this man, he wants to revive. He wants to restore. And of course, most of you know what happens during renovations. When you start going into buildings and you start renovating, you find things. Things that you never knew were there. And they found something. Chapter 22, verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Now, wait a minute. Follow this carefully. This book of the law of the Lord that was given by Moses is mostly here, in this case, the book of Deuteronomy. And so they're going through this building, and somewhere in the attic, hidden away, because, you know, Manasseh tried to hide it and ban it from the kingdom. And they find Moses' fifth book. Manasseh, during his reign, forbade anybody to see it. And then later with Ammon, Josiah's father, if you add the 2 years together, 60 years, this book has been put away from the people of God. That means this. That means his entire life. From the time Josiah is born, he did not have the law of Moses, Israel's greatest book. For those again who say, it's too hard today. We can't do it. Society's rough. Can I remind you that we have the whole counsel of God? We have it. It's not hidden anywhere. So here's Josiah, 26 years of age. He's listening now while Shaphan is reading the forgotten book of Deuteronomy. 34 chapters in our English Bible. Well, that's a lot of reading. I mean, some of you have already lost tonight because we've had too much reading for your liking. And this is the whole story, as you know, Deuteronomy, the story of God's redemption from Egypt. It's the story of the Exodus and the wilderness and Mount Sinai and the tabernacle and the Passover and the priesthood and the Ten Commandments and all that God required of his people as a light to the world. In fact, I'm going to remind you what it says. I'm going to read a little bit from Deuteronomy. These are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land, whither you go to possess it. So imagine Josiah is listening to these words for the first time in his life. And they keep reading. Thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. He keeps reading. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Teach them diligently to thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest down. He says, and thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Here it is. Ye shall not go after the other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. And so on. 34 chapters of this. Can I ask you a question? What do 26-year-olds today, what do they do when they hear the commandments and the words of God? 26-year-olds today are part of a demographic cohort, as you know, called the millennials, sometimes called the crybaby generation. I don't call them that. I don't call them that at all. I'm a baby boomer. They're the worst, but they're called crybabies because, you know, they have easy. Why did the millennial leave work early? Because it was the fourth anniversary of her cat dying. You know, that kind of those kind of jokes. But here's Josiah. He's a millennial. 26 years old. This is how he responds to the word of God. Verse 11. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. That was repentance. Josiah, in the middle years of his life, was entirely serious about the will of God revealed in the word of God. First he heard it, then he was moved by it, and then he actually did something about it. Look at verse 13. He says, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that was written concerning us. You know what's interesting? One of the things that Josiah heard that day concerned God's description of the Passover. So that's in Deuteronomy, so they're reading all the words, and he's reading about Passover, and he's hearing how it's supposed to be conducted, and Josiah had never heard those words in that way in God's will ever before. So what does he do about it? He calls together the priests. He sets aside sacrifices. He prepares the entire nation. He arranges the singers. And when spring comes, it says in chapter 34, 33, throughout all these books, that Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And remember what we just read? Best Passover ever. It said it like that Passover, there was none as great before and none ever. At 26 years of age, Josiah loves the Lord. And he's serious about the Lord. And with great joy, he honors the Lord. Which brings us then to the last part of his life. And I hope you'll listen to this very carefully. Because I have to tell you, while it's filled with courage and honor and faith and heroism, this is not the ending that we would have written for his life. This is not how, in our minds, a story like Josiah is supposed to end or be finished. Chapter 23, look at it with me. Go down to verse 29. It says, in his days, that's in Josiah's days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria. Now, wait a minute. Something's going to happen in his days, and it's not good. But why in his days? I mean, why couldn't this happen in somebody else's administration? You ever think about that in politics, you know? Why in someone else's administration? Over in Chronicles, it says, quote, after all this, after all what? After Josiah restored the temple, After all of the revival and the restoration and the cleansing and the reformation and the obedience, after all of this, what? They live happily ever after. After all of this, Josiah was prosperous and healthy and wealthy. That's not what it says. Verse 29, in his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. And King Josiah went against him. You know, Pharaoh Necho was a bloody man. That Pharaoh wreaked havoc against the people in the realm and the people of God. He always, always did nothing else but cause people heartache and pain. So what a great time. What perfect timing for him to go down. And who better to be the man to do that, to subdue that wicked, vile king, now at 39 years of age, than King Josiah? This is perfect timing. And you know something? If you know the whole story, very bravely, on the front lines, the Bible says that without his king's attire, because he wants to face Necho face to face, he's not wearing the king's attire. He goes out there, talk about bravery and courage, valor. He goes to battle. Verse 29, in his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Syria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him, and he slew him. He slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. And his servants, that is, Josiah, was slain. And his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Now, wait a minute. You say, Pastor, what kind of ending is this? Who writes this? This is shocking for Judah. This is shocking for Jerusalem. This is so unfair. It's so sudden. The Bible tells us in Lamentations that when Jeremiah got news of his, he wept and wept and wept that Josiah was killed by an Egyptian arrow. Beloved, please hear me. The world looks at this ending. Shallow Christians look at this ending. Unbelievers look at this ending. And they pretty much say the same thing. It's not fair. It's not good. It's not right. They usually conclude, therefore, it's not worth it. Live your life like Josiah. Stand up for God your entire life. Why does Josiah die such an untimely death? When Manasseh, his grandfather, the vile one, got to reign just like Stalin did for 55 long years. First of all, who says it's untimely? I was going through some of my knick-knacky stuff that's been taken off my bookshelves the other day, and I found something that Phil Jacobson gave to me. And you know, we forget how many people sat in these pews that we loved and are gone. And he died, as you know, 4 or 5 years ago of pancreatic cancer. And I looked at this thing. It was a rock that he gave me that he'd found, and it had a great poem. And he told me a story when he gave me the rock. And he told me that when he was in the Army, how he was in Louisiana in the 1940s. And he was in service, and it included a lot of these sort of routine tasks and duties for him. One day, he said he was taking old mattresses from their camp, their base, their fort, to a local dump. And so he's in this old covered truck riding in the back with a stack of these little thin army mattresses. And this kid from Brooklyn, just going down a country road in Louisiana, totally a duck out of water. And unfortunately, he said, instead of sitting with his back to the cab or to the side, he was right in the middle on top of some, he's a city boy, on top of some mattresses. And he told me that this truck is moving, is blazing down this bumpy road. And all of a sudden, a bunch of wind gets under the mattress and just picks him up. And he said, literally, Pastor, I was taken up into the air and surfing on this mattress until I'm on the side of the road and shattered my ankle. The truck didn't know it. They just kept on going. They didn't see it. They didn't hear it. Pretty soon, some country boys showed up and said, "What are you doing down there?" And he said, "My ankle," and so on, and got up in the truck, and they sped to try to catch up with the rest of the group, and they did. And Phil said, we pulled up next to the army truck, and his fellow soldiers saw Phil's head sticking out the window of another vehicle, and they're like, it's priceless. Three Stooges don't need riders. Just follow these boys from Brooklyn around that are in the army. But he told me that story, and he said, I want to tell you, I was lost. He was an orphan. He was living in sin and living for himself. And as he was flying in that mattress, he just said something like, God save me. And he says, and he gave me another story and another story and another story about how God preserved his life until, in due season and in God's time, that boy who grew up in an orphanage became a member of God's eternal family. One of the joys of my ministry was baptizing Phil Jacobson in the old building on Center Street. And you know, when he was close to death, and you remember he would sit up here and he was emaciated and he had pancreatic cancer, and people were feeling sorry for him. He was so full of faith. He said, you know, God, save my life, save my life, save my life, save my life, so that I could get saved and have eternal life. And his death was not untimely. Why didn't God spare Phil's life? Why didn't God spare Josiah's life? It was an Egyptian arrow. Do you know that God actually tells us why? You don't need to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. Here's what it says. As for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. Josiah, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest the words of this place, against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Now you would think the next verse would say, and I will preserve your life, and I will keep you from the arrow, and I will make you healthy and wealthy. Here's what the next verse says. These are the words of God. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Wow. In other words, because of Manasseh and because of all those 55 years of child sacrifice, judgment was still coming. But to spare Josiah and give him peace, the Lord told him, I'm going to sort of rapture you out of this. I'm taking you out of this because I'm going to honor. You know, we act as if we sing about heaven, we love heaven, we believe in heaven, and then we get close to heaven, we act as if we'd never believed it in the first place. But it's real. It's eternal life. It's glory. It's so much glory that God said, you know what, Josiah? It's really better for you to see what's going to happen to this earth from up there. I'm reminded of that intriguing text in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 51 says this, the righteous perish. The righteous perish. And no man taketh it to heart. They don't consider it. The merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Sometimes God takes someone home just because he wants to honor them in heaven and bless them there. You see, beloved, God always, always, always knows what he's doing. It may not look like it. Pharaoh Necho may have thought, wow, I did this amazing thing. It's an untimely death for the king. It may not feel like it to us, but always, God is on his throne, and always, God does the right thing. So what are we supposed to do? All we're called to do, beloved, is trust him. Trust him like Josiah did from the first to the middle to the last. But Pastor, I just think that God should have given Josiah 15 more years. You mean like he gave his grandpa 15 years? Great-grandpa? During those 15 years, Hezekiah, that's when Manasseh was born. It's when all the wickedness came on the land. In other words, as people of faith, our great calling and our great duty before God is to trust him. No matter what. No matter what it looks like, feels like, seems like. It is to trust him, and as the Bible teaches us, to believe what we trust from the first to the last. And if that's not how you're doing it right now, if you're watching where you are, today, tonight, becomes your first. Right now, start obeying him. You young people, be a Josiah. Right now, and then until the last, trust and obey. Father, please bless it, and thank you for your word, and thank you for this boy, this teenager, this young man, and this grown man, who from the first to the last honored you. And may we recognize, Father, that inasmuch as he was taken home at 39, it was not untimely in any way that we went home. And I pray, Father, that from the first to the last, tonight being the first, that we will honor you, that we will seek to do your will and love your word and continue to build your kingdom for your glory. Bless now the invitation to that end in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.